Well, good morning once again. You know, before the communion, we sang song number 352. When we meet in sweet communion, where the feast divine is spread, hearts are brought in closer union while partaking of the bread. And the chorus is, precious feast, all else surpassing, wondrous love for you and me, while we feast, Christ gently whispers, do this in my memory. And we do that communion in the memory of Jesus' death and on the cross, His blood, His body broken. And yet, there's something else in that psalm when we do this in memory. This is sweet communion. I pray that we all understand that, what I mean. This is sweet communion, coming together in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The one who died for us, the one who sacrificed everything, all the comforts and the glory of heaven to be here on the earth and then to die upon the cross. For each and every one of us here, in fact, His propitiation is not only for ourselves, but for the whole world. And that's who Jesus is. And that's who we've been learning about and studying since the beginning of this year. And we want to remember how important that coming together in the unity of the faith is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning in the hearing, you heard Psalm 27, verses 1 through 3, reminding us that the Lord is my light and my salvation. What shall I fear? And of course, as brethren in the body of Christ, as a Savior that has defeated the devil, He's defeated sin and death, He's risen from the grave, and now sits at the right hand of God the Father, the answer to that question is nothing. There is nothing that we should fear. In a time of turmoil and confusion and uncertainty, it is very important for God's people to understand there is nothing that we should fear. Should we be careful? Yes. Should we be safe? Yes. Should we be concerned about others and their well-being? Yes. But should we fear? No. Another psalm, Psalm 18, beginning at verse 1, David writes, I will love You, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the name of the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. We know that Jesus Christ indeed is our Lord, and we know that He will save us from our greatest enemy, the devil, and his influences in this world. Last week we ended our study looking at two Scripture verses in the Bible. And the thought then is, when you let the Lord into your life, He will bring you out of darkness. You remember that? That's what Jesus does. When He said, I am the light of the world, He was bringing us out of darkness by coming into this world and bringing us the gospel message, the truth and grace from above. And it tells us that He will break the chains of bondage, the chains of sin, of fear, of uncertainty, the worries about man and what man might do to us. When Jesus taught that we don't fear man who can destroy the body, He gave us a very powerful and emotional and uplifting and encouraging message. He said, fear God, who can destroy both the body and the soul in hell. So we don't fear man. And you remember the other verse, the chapter verse, Isaiah chapter 42, verse 16. You look at that. He says, He will guide you along the way that you didn't know. He came into the world to be a bright shining light, to open the eyes of the blind and the ears of those who were deaf, to guide us, every one of us, in His way, the way, the truth, and the life that leads to heaven, to the Father. John chapter 14 and at verse 6. And He says He will make the darkness light before you. In other words, He's going to reveal in the book of John chapter 1, He is the life and the life was the light of men. And He came to reveal things. He came to reveal sin. And He, of course, came to reveal a way out of sin. He shows us there that the crooked places, He's able to make them straight. And He will deliver us, and He will never, never forsake us. This is Jesus. This is who we honor at the Lord's table. And He's the reason that we're coming together as a church. Jesus. And now, if you would, let's turn back to the book of John, chapter 8, for a moment today. And remember the things of the Lord. And as you contemplate chapter 8 here, I want to take your mind back to chapter 7. Remember that all of this had been taking place. There was a feast in Jerusalem. The Feast of the Tabernacles. The celebration of the Jews, where they would set up those booths and they were set free. A reminder that they were set free from the bondage of sin that's described in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 23. Leviticus 23:33. And that is an amazing account in the history of mankind. And the question we have at that point is, well, how is it that God led those people out of Egypt? What manner did He use to lead them? We know Moses was there, but how did He lead those people? You remember how He did it? Cloud by day, right? And then a pillar of fire at night to light their way, to guide them along the way in the darkness so that they wouldn't stumble. Jehovah God was their guide. He was their light. And that, of course, is Jesus, the light of the world. And so now as we look at John chapter 8 together, and we think about that, and we realize that, when they had this festival, they set up big candelabras, if you would call them that, in the inner area of the temple. And those candelabras, they would light up at night and they would brighten up everything. And remember where this temple was? It was in Jerusalem. Where was Jerusalem? It was up on top of the hill. That ought to remind you of a very powerful verse, right? You don't put a candle under the table. You put it on top so that all can see that light that's on that hill. Of course, for us is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. If you're following along as a youth and you have that booklet about, are you listening? And that's what Jesus said. He said, I am the light of the world. And he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. This is Jesus. This is who we're talking about. And you can see that Jesus chose this perfect time in the confines of the temple to speak to the people. A time when they would understand and may be able to relate the idea of being the light. What is it that those Jews heard when Jesus says, I'm the light of the world? They were hearing that He was saying, I'm the one that was prophesied about. I'm the Messiah. I am the promised Christ, the anointed one from God. And literally that is what that word describes. Think about this. Jesus is the light. You remember Simeon when Jesus was just 8 days old and the parents brought him, Mary and Joseph brought him to be circumcised into Simeon. What Simeon said. Something he had been waiting for all of his life. He said, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. He was talking about Jesus, that baby Jesus. He knew that's who that was. Jesus is that light. You know, look in your Bibles in John chapter 1. Just follow along with me, or you can look on the screen. I have it up there. In John chapter 1, verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then we go over to verse 5, and the Scripture tells us, and the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. They couldn't overcome the light. You can't argue against the light because the light is truth. And then in verse 7, this man came for a witness to bear witness to the light. We're talking about John the Baptist who came to bear witness of the light. He's not the light, but he came to bear witness of the light, of Jesus, that all through him might believe. How powerful is this light? In verse 8, he says he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. And finally, in verse 9, that which was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. And who's getting the true light? Just certain people? Is it just those who are of the stock of Benjamin or of Israel or Jewish heritage? No, every man, and this isn't a masculine, feminine thing, every person who comes into the world, Jesus is your light. And as we study today, we need that light. He is the true light. And everyone who practices evil hates that light. John chapter 13, we read that in verse 20. He is the true light, and he who does the truth comes to the light. So people that are interested only in evil, and interested only in self, interested only in where they can gain in this world and what they can gain, being materialistic or idolatrous, they'll never see that light. They'll never comprehend it. And when they do see it, they try to overcome it, but they can't. But we need to be those people who do the light. They walk in the light. Do the truth. Come to the light. And Jesus Christ will reveal. He'll make straight your paths. And He will be that guide for all your life. He is the true light. And He's a man... born blind. Remember that? You look at John chapter 1, or John chapter 9, 1 through 7. What did that happen there? That man, he came in, he was born blind. And what did Jesus say just before he anointed that man? He told him, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Imagine this is a blind man from birth. He's never seen the light. He's never seen people. He's never seen anything. Blind from birth. And Jesus says to him, I'm the light of the world. How could he comprehend that? And yet, to show people that man isn't blind because of his sin, but to reveal the truth about God, to reveal the power of God, Jesus anointed his eyes with clay and told him to go and rinse his eyes off in the pool of Siloam. And what happened? That man came back. What happened when he came back? He came back seeing. The light of the world brought light to a blind man. And it's an allegory for our life. Without Jesus, again, we're in darkness. And we'll see that here in a moment. We're in darkness. But when we trust in Jesus and we allow Him to be our guide and He straightens out our paths, we begin to see. And the longer we walk in that light, the brighter it gets, the more we see, the stronger we are spiritually, like that man. And do you think that man, at any time in his future, decided one day that I don't want to see anymore? I don't want to see. I'm sorry Jesus ever brought me into the light. Maybe some of us today say those things, possibly back then. I wish I couldn't see some of the things that I've seen, and I wish I could unsee some of the things that I've seen in this world today. The hatred, murder we recently read about and see on the news. And yet, we're in the world. And rather than focus on that darkness, we need to be the light, and we need to walk in the light of Jesus. And then as we look at this in John chapter 12, verses 27 through 36. Think about this, that when Jesus, I'm the light of the world. And the light of the world told his disciples that he must die. In summation, that's what he said. I'm going to die. I'm going to die on that cross. My blood is going to be shed. And then I'm going to be buried in the ground, and 3 days later I'm going to be raised up by the power of God, resurrected. And then I'm going to eventually ascend up into heaven and be with the Father and sit upon my throne. That's what Jesus said. In verse 36 of John chapter 12, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become the sons of God. And I want you to think about that for a minute. While he was telling them, while the light was on the earth, while you have me, believe in me. Walk with me. Learn from me. Because there's going to come a time when I won't be here anymore. You're going to have to carry the light. You're going to have be that torch. You're going to bring the gospel, the good news to the world around you. And in many, many ways, that again is like, for us today, the same message. Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God. He is in heaven being the propitiation for our sins. And he wants us to be the lights of the world. He wants us to listen and learn and shine as lights. John chapter 12, verse 46. While you have, verse 36, believe in that light. In John 12, 46, he says that whoever believes in him should not abide in darkness. So believing in Jesus helps bring you out of the light. I am the light of the world, Jesus says. And as a result of that, if he's the light, then the world is darkness. If he's the light of the world, then the world has to be in darkness, and he's the light. Like, these are lights of the room. And if we turn off those lights, theoretically, we're in darkness. And we won't be able to walk around like we do in the light. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 39, Jesus, he asks a very simple question. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? You know, there's an image here of two blind men crossing the street. There was a blind man who came to a corner of a very busy intersection. And if you think about that being blind, imagine going out there today on the busiest over here on Northfield or something. And close your eyes, put a mask on something, and go ahead and walk across the street. That'd be terrifying, wouldn't it? And so this blind man standing on the corner waiting for what he perceived to be the opportunity to go, and then he noticed somebody walk up beside him. He heard him, perceived him. And the blind man said to that other man, he says, "Hey, would you do me a favor and guide me across this dangerous, busy street? Save my life." And the other man said, "Sure, I'll help you." And as they walk across the street together, arm in arm, they hear a car screech to a halt People are yelling profanities out the window. They can smell the burning rubber. Horns are blowing. Finally, they get across to the other side. And the blind man says, "Wow, why was all that going on? The people yelling and cursing at us and the car slamming on their brakes and all that calamity?" And the other man says, "I have no idea. I'm blind." We can't afford to let the blind be our guide. We can't afford to let the world make decisions for us. We are people of the light of Jesus. And we need to be following the light, walking in the light. You know, this is an amazing biblical image when you think God up in heaven looking down upon the dark, dark world. How He sees us as He looks down from heaven, men in the darkness, stumbling around, not knowing where they're going, tripping over everything spiritually. The blind leading the blind. There's a lot of people out there doing just that very thing. What an amazing image. You know, in Acts 26:17, you can see that on the screen. Paul says, the Lord says to Paul, "I now send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from the darkness to the light, from the power of Satan unto God." You see the progression. Jesus told them originally, the disciples, "I'm not going to be with you forever. While you have the light, walk in the light. While you have me in the world, learn from me." And then Jesus goes to heaven. He meets Paul on the road to Damascus, or Saul rather, and what happens? A bright light. Bright light. And then what? He saw the light. And he did just what the light told him to do. He went. He listened to Ananias. He was baptized. He got up and was baptized for the remission of his sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Acts chapter 22, verse 16. He saw the light. You know, in Ephesians, to the church in Ephesus, Paul writes, they walk in the futility of their mind, the Gentiles. They have their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Why? Because of ignorance. What else? Because of the blindness of their hearts, or the hardness of their hearts. We want to look at those two things real quickly, ignorance and hardness of their hearts. First of all, you think about ignorance. When we think of ignorance and how it's defined, ignorance is refusing knowledge or ignoring truth. Ignorance is just being without knowledge. And when we think of ignorance, you think, well, if I'm ignorant, I'm safe. But that's not true. I mean, we've all heard ignorance is no excuse for the law. And it's no excuse for being in darkness. Because God's given us the light of the world. He gave us the Word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Psalm 119, 105, 119. Psalm 105, 119, 105. He gave us that. We have the Word of God, the light. And so we don't have an excuse to be ignorant. And listen, even if you were ignorant, is that an excuse? When you stand before God in the day of judgment, is that an excuse? No, it's not an excuse. We learn from Ezekiel 45 at verse 20 that it's not an excuse for the atonement. They still have to have atonement. There's people who sin unintentionally, that verse says. And even though they sin unintentionally or in ignorance, the priest still had to make atonement in the temple for their sins. It has to be atoned. There has to be a propitiation, which is really a better word there. Somebody who sacrifices on your behalf. And that, of course, is Jesus. God set forth a propitiation in His blood through faith, Romans 3 and 25. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, it can't be overlooked. Sin cannot be overlooked. We need to repent. The Scripture tells us truly in these times of ignorance, God overlooked. He overlooked the ignorance of man, but then He sent Jesus into the world. He gave us the way, the truth, the life. He gave us all that pertains unto life and godliness. For 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. So we don't have an excuse. And what we need to do is repent. Come into the light. Now the other word is hardness. And you think about the Greek word that's used in Ephesians there about the hinders, the blinders of the heart. Okay, it talks about the hardness, really. The blindness of their heart. The hardness is really what they're talking about. It comes from a Greek word. The word is poro. And it originally was used to describe a hard marble atop. And eventually, over time, it became a word that describes the fractures that are healed in a bone that become a hard callus on the bone. You think about that. Listen to me here. Look at that image up there. We think about the hardness. Have you ever heard of a bulletproof shield? Bulletproof glass, I mean. Bulletproof glass. You look at this image, and what do you see? You see a man with a rifle shooting into a piece of glass with another man sitting behind it. Isn't that trust? He's trusting that glass isn't going to stop, and that it's going to stop that bullet. And in this case, of course, it did. I'm sure they tested that beforehand, so it wasn't really real faith. But you think about this. That man can see what's on the other side. He can see that rifle aiming right at his face. That man sees what's there. And he knows that bullet, when it comes, that hits the glass. He can see the reaction. He can see the glass chip. And yet he doesn't fear. Because that glass is protecting him. You know, people we're like that in the world. Darkness is all around us, and yet we can see the darkness. Physically, emotionally, spiritually. You can see all the hatred and the things we mentioned earlier on. You can see all the sin and the lust and the horrors of the invention of man. You can see that clearly. But if you're on the wrong side of that glass, it's going to get you. That bullet's like sin, and it's going to get you if you're on the wrong side of the glass. Immorality, murder, hate, idolatry, confusion. If you're on the wrong side of that glass, that's what that bullet is, and it's going to get you. And we can see all those things. But what is that glass made of spiritually? What is it made of spiritually? It's made of light of Christ, the Word of God. It's made of the power of God. You think about that. You know, in this world today we live in, you've all heard Isaiah. What does he say there? Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. I mean, you imagine what's going on in the world today, and you see that everywhere. But you know what? There's people in the world out there that don't see that. They don't see the world as evil. They just think that we're all the same. They don't see the evil that's in the world. And they see things that are evil and they call them good. I read an article the other day about a mother who forced a 3-year-old daughter to hold up a sign that says, "I'm a racist and I don't deserve anything. I don't deserve to be happy." Let that sink in for a second. What parents are doing to their children. It's so much. But, you know, as you look at this, I want you to think about this verse. When they have heard go out and are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. That's the heart that's hardened by the cares and the riches of this world. That's the heart that won't get behind the shield, Jesus Christ, our strength, our stronghold, our rock, our defender. And that's what we're dealing with. You know, when that bullet comes, it doesn't go through the glass. It doesn't penetrate, but it does make a mark. We can see the marks, but we're not affected by it because we're behind the shield of Christ. We're behind that shield. You know, if you live in darkness and you think about people who believe in the darkness, then you're going to behave according to darkness. If you're in the darkness, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. That's what we need to do. If we're in sin, we need to cast it off. If we're practicing some kind of evil, we need to cast it off. If we can see the hatred that's going on in the world and we realize we're part of that, cast it off. Put on the full armor of light according to the Word of God. You know, and if you're in the darkness, wouldn't you want to know who your leader is? I mean, we all are going to have a leader somewhere guiding us. Who's the leader in the darkness? Who is that leader? 2 Corinthians, Paul writes that he is the God of this age. What did the God of this age do? He blinded those who do not believe. He blinded them with all his propaganda, with all his doctrine of demons. He's blinded them so that they can't see the glory of God. He's the enemy. He's behind all the evil in the world. Can you imagine in your mind's eye that kind of metaphor that we find here? See, Satan seeks to blind your mind. Did you know your mind has eyes? He seeks to blind those eyes. And what the Bible is talking about, that we are complete in Christ, and without Christ we're in utter darkness. Man can't progress out of darkness upon his own volition by learning the philosophy of men, by experiencing somehow things of life, nirvana, that they somehow reach a place of enlightenment, get out of that foggy state. No, can't do it. Without Jesus, you can't come out of the line. And we're in complete darkness when we're without Jesus in our lives. Another point here, darkness, you can't overcome it. You can't overcome any kind of darkness, spiritual or otherwise, on your own. Why is that? You remember last week we made a very strong point that Jesus came into the world. He did miracles, signs, wonders. We've gone through that many times. The miracle of the loaves, the water into wine, the food, spiritual gifts. And what's really interesting is as we look over to John chapter 9, remember what we just looked at. He heals a blind man, brings light into his life, so that he could see. In Matthew chapter 11, John the Baptist is in prison. Go ask Jesus, are you the one? And what did Jesus tell him? The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. That's what he told them. The dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. That's what you tell John. In Isaiah, or Luke chapter 4 and 18, a prophecy of Isaiah. What did he say? And he's going to recover the sight of the blind. Over and over and over again, the prophecies. Messiah will come. He's going to take away the blindness. He's going to take the eyes of the blind and they'll be opened. He's going to take and open the blind eyes to bring them out of prison, out of sin, out of slavery of sin, out of the darkness. And Jesus came to reveal God. You think about that for a second. Jesus, He's the one we need to listen to if we want to know about God. Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. He tells us all those blessings and He tells us all about that light that needs to be shown. Don't commit murder. The fact that He can see murder in the heart of man. Don't commit adultery. He can see adultery going on in the lusts of heart of men. Jesus came to take away that spiritual darkness. In John chapter 8 and verse 31, in our text here, what does He say there? He says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believe, 'If you abide in My word, and you are My disciples indeed.'" Abide in His word. That's where that comes from. And Jesus also came to reveal the heart of man. You know, that's not hard to understand. In Luke chapter 8, He talks about the hearts of men. Some hearts are just so hardened that they just can't receive the seed of God. Some hearts will receive it and for a time, but the cares and the riches of this world, they drown it out. He came to reveal the heart of man. When we think about your heart, what kind of heart is it that we're dealing with? You deny things that we know to be true, that Jesus literally was a man recorded in history upon the face of the earth. He was a teacher of the time. He did do miracles that so many witnesses saw, and He was dead and buried and rose from the grave according to thousands of witnesses. Are you going to deny that? Then your heart is hardened. And Jesus is reminding us how important that is. You know, when we think about the light of the world, Jesus, I think about a man that I read about years ago, actually, Dante Atullo. He had a headache, a pain in his head. And he had gone to the hospital to deal with it, and they did an x-ray and found out that he had a 3¼-inch nail in the middle of his brain. He didn't know that. He didn't know that. He thought he had cut himself on the head. Yeah. 3¼ inches. I mean, that's not a little nail, is it? Here's 3¼ inches. It's that big. In the middle of his brain. And you know how they found the nail? X-rays. The light X-rays that creates an image of what people can't see without it. And that's what Jesus is. He's that powerful X-ray that came into the world to give us light so that we could see the sin, that reveals to us the slavery of sin and the unnecessary suffering that we have in this world without Him. How we're not serving the Lord but serving sin, because the light came to guide us. Psalm 43 and 3. Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Sanctify them by your word, truth. Your word is truth. That's the light of the Lord. Let's ask for God to send us that light through His word to brighten up our days, to enlighten our understandings, to bring us to spiritual strength. And when we need renewal, renewal. When we need guidance, guidance. When we're on a crooked path, it's the power that can straighten out that path. Solomon asked, "Who can make what is crooked straight?" Well, we were told by Isaiah, that's God. That's our Lord. He'll guide you and He'll straighten out that crooked path for you. Don't be the man that Jeremiah 10:23 talks about. That it's not a man who walks to direct his own steps. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in the doctrines of men. Ask God, oh, send out that light. Send out that light. Don't trust in your feelings, emotions, Don't limit yourself to what men have to say about things. Let the light do the work. That precious light. And don't miss this awesome fact. The same God who guided men and women of old out of bondage, He still wants to guide you today. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. He still does it through His Word, the lamp unto our feet, the light unto our path. I mentioned it, Psalm 119:105. The Word that came down from heaven that was the life and the light of men. That's how He does it. Jesus is the light of the world. And what did He do? We mentioned this in the last. He came to punch a hole through the darkness. And He's the only one that has the power to do that. He's the only one that can lead you out of the darkness of sin to the glories and the righteousness of holiness in Christ Jesus. He's the only one. And so, I want you to think about that. You know, when Jesus chose to forgive those who hung Him on that cross, you know what He was doing? He was punching a hole right through the sin and the darkness. Think about that. When Jesus gave up all the comforts of heaven and sacrificed all that to come down to this world and walk among people who hated Him, only sought to kill Him. Why? What did He do? He was punching holes in the light. Or in the darkness, rather. When Jesus sought only to honor His Father in heaven, He was punching holes in the darkness. When He prayed for those who despitefully used Him and hated Him, He was punching holes in the darkness. And when He took the time to listen, even to those who ridiculed Him, even to those who sought only to entrap Him or to cause Him to stumble, only those who wanted Him killed, when He took time to listen to them, He was punching holes in the darkness. And when He offered kind words against harsh words, He was punching holes in the darkness. That's what He was doing. And what I mean by that is that He was showing us by the way He lived and what He taught how we need to live. He's punching holes in the darkness so that we could see through that hole how to get into the light. That's what He did. That's what He did for us. For you, for me. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. If you've been baptized into Christ, your sins have been washed away and you've remained faithful, you're in that kingdom. You've been translated into that kingdom, transferred into that kingdom. You're a part of that kingdom now today, the church. If you're not, because you've refused the light, you've refused to be baptized according to the Scriptures for the remission of your sins, to be added to that church, that body, that kingdom, then you're in the dark. And you need to come out of the dark. Cast off the works of darkness. Obey the gospel. And if you're a member of the church and you haven't been faithful, you need to repent so that you can be brought back into that light, into that proper relationship, fellowship with God. That's the invitation today. If you have any need whatsoever, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.